What a blessing it is to have a God who knows our feeble frame in the midst of all our trials and difficulties. Turn with me in your Bibles again, and this time to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, to this great announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We will be reading verses 18 down to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It's interesting that this time of the year, don't know if you've noticed this, but this time of the year, in a sense, is the only time of the year left in which there is a widespread acknowledgement of Christian things. May not be sincere, but nonetheless, there is a widespread acknowledgement of Christian things in a way that I don't think we see any other time of the year. And of course, today is the day when traditionally Christians have celebrated the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby born in Bethlehem. And what I find really interesting, though, is that amidst all of this public recognition of Christian things, amidst this celebration of Christ's birth, so often the true meaning of why he came gets lost. And I would say that's true not only for the world at large, but also in the church. That amidst all this hubbub, amidst all of this thinking, that we lose a focus on why it is that God came into this world, that God took on human flesh, that God became incarnate. And this story, this true story, this account of the birth of Jesus helps us to see why it is that he came. And there are many interesting details, many important theological points that could be made from this passage. But what I want you to focus on this morning in particular are the two names of the Lord Jesus that we find here. One is Jesus, which means God saves. And the other is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Because those names really encapsulate the answer to that question. Why did Jesus come? Why did God come into this world? Why did he give up the splendor and the glory of heaven to come and live as a peasant and to die as a criminal in this our broken, sick, and sinful world? It is because he is Jesus. And because he is Emmanuel. So I simply want to look with you for a few minutes at each of these names. the message that this passage gives to us is that Jesus Christ came to save from sin and to open a way for God to dwell with us. Jesus Christ came to save from sin and to open a way for God to dwell with us. As I've said, the meaning of the name Jesus is God saves. Jesus. In Jesus, who is God himself, God saves, God delivers, God frees. And what does he deliver from? What does he free from? The angel tells Joseph. He came to free his people from their sin. From the blackest, the most dangerous, the worst deformity there is in this world. And the thing which is our greatest problem. Our greatest problem is not, as significant as these things would be, is not another economic downturn. It's not perhaps personal, relational, financial difficulties that we might be having, as significant as those are. It's not climate change. Our greatest problem is sin, because it destroys. Like some sort of disease which eats us slowly from the inside out. Sin destroys. And most importantly, it is our biggest problem because sin makes us enemies of God. And even as children of God who are not his enemies, sin can still disrupt that relationship with God. So what is this? What is this monster? What is this horrific thing? What is sin? It is, at its core, rebellion against God. A twisting of his ways, a failing to obey his law, a disobedience of what he has said he would have us to do, and a failure to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves and in the way in which God has told us. We read Genesis 3 earlier because that is a fantastic picture, a true account, but a fantastic picture to us of what sin is. It is that disobedience. The man and the woman, they did that very thing which God told them not to do. They ate of that fruit. And sin always has three companions. I wonder if you've thought about this. Sin always has three companions. The companions of death, hardship, and separation from the love and pleasure of God. Death, hardship, and separation from the love and pleasure of God. And we see that again in that passage. We see death was that day inaugurated. Death was brought into the world. Adam and Eve, their bodies began to age, and they would die. Dust they were, and to dust they would return. Hardship would be their lot in relationships, in childbearing, in work, in all of life. And they would be cast out of that place of sweet fellowship with God, that garden, that wonderful place where they walked with God. They would be cast away from his presence. And it's not just back then. It's now. We have inherited this disease from our first parents. And we follow it up by doing just like them and rebelling against God. You know, all the things that are wrong in your life, and you know what they are, it's because of this. I tell you this as a friend, but it is because of rebellion against God. Do you have relationships that are broken? Do you have financial difficulties? Do you have difficulty in your work and in the things that you are seeking to do in this life? It is because of this great burden. your guilt before God, and you're following up that with all sorts of rebellion against him. And the sad thing is that we love it, and that we are stuck, as in Amalia, we are stuck in this condition. But for God. It is God who has made a difference. It is God who has changed this grim and hopeless situation. And that is so much of why Christ came. That is why he came. You see, this gets us back to the name Jesus. God saves. And it's not just any name for God that is used in the name Jesus. It's actually a compound of two words. One, a name for God, and the other, the Hebrew word for salvation. But the name for God that is used is the one that was revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai. The thing that we read earlier. It is the name of God's faithfulness to his saving promise. His faithfulness to save a people for himself. Yahweh or Jehovah. It is a God of comfort, a God of salvation, a God who will change this situation. And it is with all of this background of sin and misery, that the angel announced to Joseph that night that this one that would be born, this one that would come into the world, would not only be God himself, but would be God saves, would be the one to remedy this horrible black evil of sin for all those who would trust in him. And you know what? That baby was not only a little baby in the manger. He grew up into a man who lived, a man who perfectly loved God and loved his neighbor. That thing, exact thing which we cannot do and do not do, he did like no one has ever done or will do again. He died under the just anger of God that we deserved. He rose again and ascended into heaven, that death, that one of that great companion of sin, might be defeated and destroyed. So that he did all this, so that you, if you trust Christ, if you give yourself to him, might know forgiveness of this sin, might have it cancelled, wiped out, gone before the court of God, might have for yourself that perfect life of Christ, that record of righteousness, might be transformed as his spirit makes you more and more like Christ, that you might more and more not have the effects of sin or some of them in your life, might no more be one who is a rebel against God, but a son or daughter and friend. That you might have communion with him, and one day might dwell with him in a renewed earth. You know, this salvation is not less than forgiveness of sins, but it is so much more. It is not simply a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is a complete and total makeover. Makeover of you and your life, and a makeover of this entire world. One day, those three companions of sin shall be gone. Death, hardship, and separation from God in a restored earth. So what about you? Do you know the effects of sin in your life? Do you know the hardship that it brings? Do you know the displeasure of God with it? Well, go to Jesus. This is why he came. That you might go to him. He is God's offer of salvation to you. This man, Jesus Christ, who is fully God, he is God's offer of salvation to you. He came to save a people for himself from their sin, and I, in his name, invite you to be a part of that people. And if you are, to rejoice in it, to rejoice in the salvation that God has wrought for you. When sin accuses you, look to Jesus. Look to God saves. Look to his work that he has done for you on your behalf. When sin threatens to gain the upper hand in your daily struggle with it, look to Christ. Look to your union with him. Look to the work of his Spirit making you more and more like him. Look to the one who has come not simply to save you from the guilt of sin, but from its power in your life. When you find yourself afraid or discouraged, gain hope from the fact that Christ is risen, that God saves, has come not only to save you from the anger of God, but also to save you from death and all the effects of sin. And one day, this shall be your reality if you are resting in him. This is Jesus. This is God saves. But not only do we have the name Jesus in this passage, we also have a great and precious name, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, people today have a hard time understanding the absolutely earth-shattering nature of this name. This name, God with us. Because to so many today, the question is more like, how could God possibly dwell with us? Isn't he simply a figment of our imagination? Or perhaps, what is the issue? If God is real, why doesn't he come and dwell with us so we can see that he's real? But my friends, the situation is a bit more complicated than that. God cannot, as things stood, dwell with us. Can you dwell with a hurricane? No, because it is full of destructive force. And God, in his goodness and justice and love of truth and right, could not dwell with sinful man without destroying them. But God did not let that situation stand. God would not let that situation stand. God had promised that that situation would not stand. And therefore he sent his Son into the world to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. And there were shadows of this. There was, in the desert, God's people dwelt in tents, and God dwelt in a tent palace. In the land, there was a temple where God dwelt with them. But it was so, so imperfect. God was behind many layers of walls. God's people couldn't go in any time and dwell with him. Only one man, one time of the year, after elaborate ceremony, could go in to be in God's presence. It was so, so imperfect, incomplete. It was almost like dwelling with a nuclear reactor. It's a good thing, it brings you power, but it has to be protected behind all sorts of layers of protection. No, that is not what God wanted. Yes, it was a shadow, a picture of the truth of God dwelling with his people. But it was so, so incomplete. And so he sent his Son into the world to be Emmanuel. And we see this in at least two ways. Jesus Christ, the man who walked this earth and who now stands and sits at the right hand of God the Father, is truly a man. He came to walk this earth, to know our sorrows, to be truly human. So as we have seen, he could take the just anger of God for our sin. But also, so that he could know our infirmities. So he could know our struggles and our trials. He could know what it was like to be slandered. To know what it was like to be left. Or rather, that we could know that he knows. That we could have that confidence that when we go to him, he knows. But not only that, he came so that God could dwell with us. As we have seen, he dealt with that problem of sin. But he also rose again and made a way back to God. And one day, he shall come again and wipe clean this earth of all wickedness and remake it, and he shall come to dwell with us, we as his people, he as our God. And that great truth of Emmanuel, that great truth which is wrapped up in Christ because of Christ's work, shall find its full completion as we dwell with him. Brothers and sisters, this is a privilege like no other. If you were homeless and someone came to give you £1 million, would you not think it a great privilege? Would you not accept it with joy and gladness? I tell you this day, this is a privilege so far exceedingly above that, that that looks like nothing. That God, the holy, righteous, just God of the universe, should dwell with us. What a privilege. What a great thing. Do not pass it up. If you are not in Christ, look to him, that he might dwell with you. If you are, rejoice in this fact. Rejoice that you are not cast out. If it was not for him, you would be. You have no hope apart from him. It is in him alone, in his salvation, in him as Emmanuel, that you can dwell with God. Know this privilege. Rejoice in this privilege. Use it as a help. Because God dwelt among us in this world, he has given us this great assurance that he knows our trials and struggles. And I know and you know that there are struggles and trials and difficulties in abundance among us. But no one knows those difficulties and pains and hurts and agonies better than our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have an assurance that he knows them. Because he walked this earth. Use that. And hope. Hope, my dear brothers and sisters. One day, all those companions of sin shall be done away with. And we shall dwell with God and he with us. This is why Jesus came. That we might have that grand privilege, that we might have this help, that we might have this hope. Sin dealt with, this great privilege of dwelling with God. As you think about his birth, perhaps today, rejoice and be glad. For your greatest, blackest, darkest sin, your greatest enemy has been dwelt with if you are in Christ. And it can be if you would go to Christ. And you in Christ have God as your companion. Let us pray. Almighty God, our friend, our salvation, our God with us, we come to you with joy and gladness in our hearts. Lift us to rejoice in you. Deliver us from the coldness of our hearts and make us a joyful people, basking in the sun of all the privileges that you have given us in Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen.